Hello, everyone. So, I am thoughtful of how there are some black women that are single temporarily. Then there are some black women who are single perpetually. So I want to make sure that I don't promulgate the myth that all black women want to be married, because that is untrue. I also want to not promulgate the myth that all black women want to stay single forever, because that is also untrue. Not all autism moms want to be married, and not all autism moms want to be single forever. Not all church women want to be married, and not all church women want to be single forever. So I wanted to take the time to acknowledge these earthly women realities. These earthly human women realities. When I think about what has relationships been like for me in general, I got more than one type of insightfulness about how to not allow work-life imbalance from obliterating my destiny. So I decided that I'm going to definitely avoid work-family conflict. And I'm going to keep it simplistic, because sometimes people can be too wordy and over-explain. In other cases, they're not providing enough details because they're underly wordy, not wordy enough. And this is work-family conflict. Basically, here is how I successfully avoid job stress, occupational burnout, decreased health, and organizational commitment issues and job performance related issues. Here's how I avoid it. What I do is I make sure that I say yes to the right people who humanize me, and I say no when wisdom moves me to say no, because what they're asking me or telling me could be inappropriate, or it can cause over-scheduling. An example of that is when you schedule two events to happen at the same time, or there's not enough for me to do on my schedule, let me add a little bit more so I can be productive in terms of compassion work that does not stifle my emotion work. And I make sure that the compassion work I do means that I engage in self-compassion work and compassion work for others. So sometimes I say no because I'm not led to feel like it at the moment, because it may not be the right time, it may not be the right location, it may not be the right audience, it may not be of the proper resources in the moment. It may not be suitable for everyone's information processing at the time. It may cause sensory overload at the time, or it may be sometimes when you're dealing with people, they can become impulsive or compulsive if they're so used to you being a certain way. You have to say, we can't be always spontaneous and we can't always be on the go, up and at them. Let's just do stuff to do stuff. I'm not busy for the sake of being busy. So those are some of the ways I deal with not having those issues. I make sure that my work hours are not irregular. I make sure I don't have inflexible work hours and that they're not extensive in a bad way. So in other words, I make sure that my work does not become a form of idol worship for me. And here's what I mean. I decided to work sensible hours, which means I always have enough time to take care of myself. I sometimes have to tell people that I'm not able to do that. I explain myself when it's appropriate. And other times where it's obvious to me clearly that explaining myself would make them parental figures over me, even though that's not what they're supposed to be, I go, okay, I'm not going to explain myself. I say that to myself without saying that to them. And so I decided not to be an overtime type of person because that's my time for my loved ones and my inner circle. So I also decided not to always take up money offers. But if you do put in more hours or do more of my requests, you'll get paid more. I'll pay you more. Just because you can make money each chance you get, that doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. So sometimes I'm okay with saying no to money. That is what I taught myself. Sometimes as a morally excellent person, you have to say no to money-making opportunities. Not all of them, but some of them, no is usually the right answer. Because that means that you have to do everything they want you to do, even if it's wrong for you in some ways. And you don't want people dangling your basic human needs, the complex human needs over your head, in your face. And so I decided with my work, I don't do work overload because work overload causes me both information overload, which is a subdivision of sensory overload. I also do not do work underload because that causes me information underload, which is subdivision of sensory underload. And so how I go about it is I talk to the right people, professionally speaking, about my work-related needs and my work-related desires, and that my work-related needs, work-related desires don't undertake or overtake anyone or anything. You know, there's a precedence for having unsupportive people. You know, like an unsupportive supervisor, unsupportive organization. I don't put myself in those situations. I let people know, hey, I have autism. I'm not going to be quiet about it. I need peace and quiet. I need detailed instructions and I need proper outlining. That way I can just come into work and get started instead of ants in the pants. What the hell am I going to be doing today? I don't even know what the fuck I'm going to be doing today. I don't want to have those thoughts popping in my head. And as for extensive travel, I decided, okay, traveling is fine, but we must travel to places where there are human rights protections for people like myself and people like us. With my team, I'm like, okay, there are some countries that have discriminatory legal systems, which means that some people from those countries will say, hey, can you fly to us? We want to treat with hospitality. I would tell those people, you must tell the heads of state that I'm coming, because I don't want to be in a situation where it makes it look like I'm trying to be sneaky. And plus, I would tell them, look, if you want me to come to a certain place, I need to know if the leaders of your country, your island, are willing to give me the human rights protections I need. If not, I cannot put me and my team in harm's way. So if I can't come into your country with the proper protection around us, I cannot come to your country. So you're going to have to make sure you secure that for me before I fly on in. Because I don't want to cause unnecessary funerals to happen for all of us. So in terms of travel, I'm like, okay, that the leadership in the country has to be respectful of my race, my disability, my gender and sexual orientation, my surviving abuse and trauma, my being a polymath, I'm extraordinary. Because if that can't, regardless of how you feel about all those facets of my life, F-A-C-E-T-S, you have to show respect. Even if you may not like those things about me, you gotta treat me with respect. And if you're not willing to treat me with respect and my team with respect, and if you're not willing to care about our medical needs, our dietary needs, our hydration needs, and you're not willing to care about our lodging needs, our protection needs, and the the empathy projects for people and animals and agriculture that need to be done here needs, then I cannot come to your country. Plus, I make sure that and that's how I feel about travel, is the importance of making sure that the townspeople, regardless of how they feel about me or any aspect of me, how they feel about my team, any aspect of my team, is that we have the freedom to walk, to walk down the street or be in public transportation, not to worry about our lives, and that we're around trustworthy people. Because to be honest with you, I look at travel advisory And there are many places around the world that it's dangerous for me to be black there, for me to be autistic there, for me to be heteroflexible there, for me to be an abuse survivor there, for me to be a genius polymath there. So there's a lot of the places I cannot go to because of the lack of human rights protection. So some people would say this. You know, Antonio, you have the right to be in those places and will be your human rights protection while you're there. And we'll make sure you get in and get out safely. That's a possibility. Other people will say, well, we will make sure that the leaders start dismantling their own laws so you can be safely there. While some will say, well, you know, Antonio, I really want you to be where I am, and that us townspeople will make sure you don't get in any trouble with the law, because we need your advocacy and activism here, and that we will revolt against the leadership and the law if we have to, just so the justice we need you to help us implement will be secured. So these are all possibilities. And because one of the things that I struggle with as a global social justice warrior is the concept of not being in places that lack human rights protections, animal rights protections, and environmentalism protections. And I say, most people go, but why would that be a struggle? You should be safe. I'm like, that is true. Me and my team should be safe. However, here's the not easy part. Sometimes, and as a global social justice warrior, even if you're a social justice warrior locally or nationally, sometimes you cannot always be comfortable. Sometimes you can't always feel good. That doesn't mean put yourself and others in reckless circumstances. That does not mean self-destructive behavior. That does not mean the destroying of others. What I'm saying is that sometimes you have to go to enemy territory, not to be suicidal, not to be homicidal, not to start any kind of unnecessary distractions, and not to be a bully. But it just means that, okay, I understand that sometimes you have to confront fascism where it is. Sometimes you have to confront authoritarianism for what it is. Sometimes you have to confront totalitarianism for what it is. Sometimes you have to confront the Orwellian for what it is. Sometimes you have to confront dictatorship regimes where they are. And that's hard, because the balance of, well, there needs to be safe and sane uprisings. However, how do we do that and make it back home alive? Because sometimes abiding by moral excellence, which is most important, I may find myself in unsafe, unhealthy, and uncomfortable places. I had to overcome my fear of death. I had to overcome low self-esteem. I had to overcome being hard on myself. I'm not saying badly endanger safety, health, and comfort. What I'm saying is sometimes I may have to go into situations knowing that the people there may be tempted to have me as a martyr, which I don't think will happen. I don't think martyrdom will ever happen to me. And I don't want to speak that into existence. It just simply means that when you are a person like myself, I can't always run from my enemies. However, that doesn't mean put us all in harm's way so unnecessarily. It's a difficult balance. So, I had to learn that as a global social justice warrior, I'll have to effectively help people with their spiritual needs and considering their physical needs that effectively help me too. So, when I as a global social justice warrior have to I have to go out into the world and make contact. I can't stop moral excellence from working in certain places or talking to certain people. I cannot avoid the seedy environments where notorious people hang out. It's not intended for me to withdraw purify myself and never reach out. No, 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 no. At the same time, I can't let I can't let our good be spoken out as evil. I can't let our greater good be spoken out as greater evil. Often, my calling involves hard, smart work, persecution, social rejection, potential career derailment, deprivation, discomfort, and deep suffering. I don't have it bad all the time. I'm speaking these things into existence. But these realities are very much well possible. I've been called to be a humble, suffering servant, a humble, suffering servant leader. And I just also learned why dating and sex would be sometimes thorns in my side. Not because of me, but because we live in a world where people think you have to be Herculean. And they'll think that way about me. I'm like, no, you have to be a humble, suffering servant leader like I am. So, interpersonal conflict at work, well, I wouldn't have a team of people of emotional immaturity. I would have a team of people I work with that are of emotional maturity. Because conflicts and issues and problems tend to be resolved in a timely manner with the most effective solutions possible. Can't say the same for emotionally mature professionals. I use my stress ball. I count to 10. As other ways of helping me out. I will make sure that my family to work conflict will never interfere with my work life, my family commitments, my loved ones and inner circle experiences. So I'm gonna make sure that there's no lingering, perpetual interpersonal conflicts with my friends, my family, my loved ones in my inner circle. They're all gonna be supportive. And I'm gonna have healthy middle ground work productivity involved. How will I do that? I'll have people in my life. We all hold each other responsible and accountable in terms of our professional lives and personal lives. We'll have accountability partnership systems. Where we have to run by our decisions with one another. And people that we give each other constructive criticism, hard truths, hard conversations, hard ultimatums, and make hard choices. But it's all for the personal and spiritual growth of everyone involved. So no workaholism allowed. No laziness allowed. We're going to make sure that we are well versed in terms of medical knowledge, which will protect us from chronic stress, compassion fatigue, and burnout. So, the ways I came up with work, family, enrichment, is that we take plenty of vacations together. We do friendship vacations together. We as family and friends. We do each other's favorite hobbies. We have quiet time when there's no technology turned on, no technology being used. It's just us conversing with each other. And when we socialize with each other, with the right people, there is no disturbances. We might put do not disturb while we go hang out, hanging on the door. And that lets people know, hey, back off, we're doing our thing. So I just wanted to address these things. Also, wanted to tell you this. that I choose not to live a lifestyle which there's physical inactivity and little or no physical movement or exercise. That means I decided not to spend a lot of time sitting down. I decided I'm not going to spend a lot of time lying down. I decided I'm not going to spend a lot of time sitting or lying down while engaged in activity like socializing, watch TV, playing video games, reading, using a mobile phone or computer for much of the day. That's not going to be me. I won't be playing a lot of video games for very long. I won't be using technology for much of the day a whole lot. I won't be watching TV a whole lot because I don't want to contribute to poor health quality, disease, as well as many preventable causes of death. That's not going to be me. I'm going to be physically active because I'm blocking out excessive screen time. I'm blocking out physical inactivity. Reclining for very long in terms of posture, no. Longer than 6 hours a day of not being physically healthy, I say hell no to that. Because I decided that my rest boundaries margin, as well as my physically toning myself while I'm working, this is how I protect myself from anxiety, cardiovascular disease, migraines, breast cancer, colon cancer, computer vision syndrome, only from excessive electronic use, depression, diabetes, gout, high blood pressure, lipid disorder, skin problems such as hair loss, mortality in adults, obesity, osteoporosis, scoliosis, spinal disc herniation, low back pain, and weight gain. So, yes, that's basically how I'm going to deal with living a life as well-rounded, well-adjusted, well-balanced, and well-unified work-life balance.